Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents That First Date by Jen McMahon. Narrated by Laurie West and Alex Kidd. Chapter 1. Avery. You have got to be kidding me, I think to myself as I see an incoming call from my boss. Mark? It's not unusual for Mark to be up my ass when I'm off work. When I accepted the position as his assistant a few weeks ago, I didn't know he was the brother of my best friend's boss. I use the word boss loosely, though. Peyton and Thomas have certainly blurred some of those lines in the professional workplace and are leaning closer and closer to an actual relationship. Peyton met Thomas briefly a few years back at a charity event. Fast forward 5 years after no communication, she accidentally becomes the nanny for his son James. Let's just say fate dealt its cards for her, and I wouldn't be surprised if they got married soon. Unfortunately for me, fate was not in my favor when I landed my new assistant job with Mark Ford, who just so happens to be Thomas's brother, and the biggest pain in my ass to ever exist. An assistant might not seem like someone's dream job, but it's certainly something that I actually enjoy doing. What's that saying? If you love your job, you'll never work a day in your life? Something like that. Keeping people organized and together makes me weirdly happy. Plus, I've worked my ass off to climb the ladder in assistant positions when I started off as a nobody after I moved to New York. I answered phones for a popular fashion magazine, making next to nothing until I worked my way up to higher-paying assistant jobs, like this one with Mark.
Avery, Mark cuts through my thoughts. I need your help.
I'm not working today. I'm off. My best friend Callie and I took Peyton for her first experience at a waxing center. We spent the better part of the day getting her pampered, so she's ready for her big night at a charity gala with her boss. Except tomorrow she's actually going as his date.
Thank you, Captain Obvious, he scoffs. You know how I knew that? I'm here at the office and I'm looking at your empty desk.
Are you always this rude to all your assistants? I ask him. No wonder you needed a new one. The last one probably ran for the hills the second she learned how charming you were. Listen, Mark is hot. There's no question about that. The day I walked in for my interview, my jaw fell to the floor as I stood in front of all 6 feet of him. My first impression of him left me speechless as I fielded all the questions he asked me. He's way more relaxed than your typical rich boss. He walks around the office in the classic white button-up dress shirt, with his sleeves rolled up to show off his thick, corded forearms that are every woman's wet dream. Don't even get me started on his tousled hair that begs me to run my hands through it. However, he has the personality of a wet mop. He's basically a grump 100% of the time, but that doesn't make my job miserable. I can hold my own with a man who has a permanent scowl on his face. Plus, I make it a mission to piss him off any chance I can. Why? Because I just love to see him clench that perfectly chiseled jaw in frustration. I am fairly confident that I'm the best assistant he's ever had. His office was in shambles before I stepped in. Frankly, he needed me.
Cute, he deadpans. Back to why I called. I need your help.
Whatever can I help you with, Your Majesty?
As you know, he starts but pauses to let out a long breath. Bill wants to pass down the agency to someone when he retires, and I'm up for consideration.
I don't see how this is something I can help with.
Bill wants a family man to run the place. He wants someone settled down in an established relationship, not necessarily with kids. I'm not pushing a Mark Ford spawn out of my vagina for you, I interrupt him. Can you imagine how grumpy that child will be? No thanks. Peyton must have been taking a sip of water because I can hear water spray out of her mouth, and Callie starts to giggle as if they're eavesdropping on my conversation. I rush a few steps ahead, only to be stopped dead in my tracks by his next statement. And I'm not sticking my dick in you to create said spawn, he quips. I need you to be my date to that charity event Thomas and Peyton are going to. Bill is going to be there, and I just need to make a small show out of it, so he can see that I'm who he's looking for. So, let me get this straight. A laugh sneaks out of me as I think about what he's asking, and how he might actually be drunk right now. That's the only explanation. You need me to be your fake girlfriend for the night to show your boss that you're in a long-term, happy relationship so he can pass the baton down to you? Well, no, it's not a baton, it's a company, and more like fake fiancé, so I can... No, I will not be your fake fucking fiancé! Are you drunk? I exclaim. Out of the corner of my eye, I see Peyton and Callie practically doubling over laughing. Avery. I can practically feel the desperation in his voice. Trust me, I hate to ask you this. You're the last person on Earth I want to be engaged to, let alone fake engaged to. I throw my head back with the phone still pressed to my ear. This sounds like my nightmare coming true, I mutter. Mark, I don't do relationships, and I have never had the desire to be in one. I can't even lift a single finger to show how many relationships I have been in. Because the answer is zero. I know this wouldn't be a real relationship, but even just the idea of faking one has my skin crawling. It's all so painfully cliché. Let's say it together on three. 1, 2, 3. Daddy issues! When I was 4, my dad walked out on my mom with his mistress. We haven't heard from him since and have no idea where he even is in the world. He could be in Egypt, for all we know. My mom hasn't dated anyone since then. I saw the damage my dad did to her. And I never want to give anyone the chance to do that to me. Please, Avery, he pleads. You owe me the biggest raise of my life, Marcus. I abruptly hang up the phone because I don't feel like entertaining this wild facade any more than I already have. This is the worst idea in the history of all bad ideas. He's literally my boss. Not just the boss that works higher up and, you know, sometimes you see. No, I'm literally his personal assistant. My desk is 5 feet from his, separated by a huge wall of glass windows. Looks like I'm coming to this shindig. I laugh to the girls as I stuff my phone into my purse while we wait on the sidewalk for the Uber. Peyton and Callie are my two closest friends. Probably my only friends. They befriended me when I first moved here to the concrete jungle, and honestly, we have been inseparable ever since. We're like thighs, we stick together. We're the three best friends that anyone could have. We sing-song that to each other almost on a daily basis, mostly because it fits us so well. Callie is the older one and makes sure we know it. Despite her being just 1 year older than us, she's the most mature and level-headed. She keeps us in our place, and has the best, most logical advice when you're in a predicament. Peyton is the sweet one of the group. She's grown a lot since moving to the city. She lost her parents in a tragic car accident, and was forced to try to fend for herself. That's what landed her in our apartment. She needed to get her life started again after she had to sell her childhood home. Since Thomas walked back into her life, though, I have watched her blossom into the badass woman I always knew was deep down. I won't sit here and give all the credit to Thomas, because that shit is supposed to come from within. He just gave her that confidence back, which elevated all the other aspects of her life. I'm a typical Aries, high energy, fiery, and passionate. At least that's what I'm told are some of my best traits. Sometimes my high energy can be taken the wrong way by people, but I could care less about what they think about me or say behind my back. I keep my chin up, head held high, and plaster a wicked smile on my face and move on with my life. Peyton's Gigi always tells me, "If they won't matter to you in 5 years, then don't spend more than 5 minutes letting them get to you." Wise words from the best adopted grandmother. "What the heck was that?" Callie finally asks. "And why are we acting so casual about this right now?" Peyton adds. "We didn't catch what he said, but from your end, that sounded pretty intense." "Am I supposed to be freaking out because my boss, the grumpiest man on the face of the earth, asked me to be his fake fiancé to this charity event so he can get his boss to love him and gift him an entire company?" "Yes," they both say in unison while aggressively nodding their heads to emphasize their answer. "Stop it," I laugh as I wave my hand in the air to blow them off. "It may be a really bad idea because we work together, but I could honestly give two shits at this point."
"We're not saying it's a bad idea," Callie says first.
"It's just that," Peyton rolls her eyes, "you two can barely stand each other outside of work. Plus, you have never even been in an actual relationship. How are you going to sell this to his boss?" "And here I thought you knew me, babe." I huff out another chuckle. "I'm immune to this shit. I don't fall for all that corny charm. It'll be hard work because he's Mark, but my acting skills are top tier, like Oscar worthy. I can also fake an orgasm like no one's business."
"Stop it," Callie scoffs. "You've never faked one. No way."
"Sometimes a girl's gotta do what a girl's gotta do." I waggle my eyebrows. "Unfortunately, there are some men out there who still don't know the female anatomy or how to work with what they've got."
"She's not wrong, Callie," Peyton says.
"Before Thomas, I have had to fake it plenty of times. Mediocre sex at best. But it's a whole new world when you find the right one." "Whoa there." I wave my hands in the air and sigh. "Don't spit my own words back at me. That's not what this is. This is a one-date thing as I play the role of my overbearing boss's doting fiancé. There will be no sex."
"Come on, Avery."
Callie bends over in a fit of laughter as she rests both hands on her knees to steady herself.
"No sex for you? You're like the female version of a playboy. Playgirl, if you will. I don't know if that's a thing, but let's make it an Avery thing."
"Nailed it," Peyton emphasizes with a fist pound to Callie. "No pun intended." "She did. She nailed it. That's who I am and who I have always been, because I love sex. If it's done right, it takes you to a whole new world. I am certainly not a female version of a playboy, but feel free to call me a dirty little slut in the bedroom any time. It's kinky. Most of the time, I keep it casual. I will see the same guy for a while until one of us gets sick of the other. More often than not, it's me, because I don't do the clingy shit. Plus, I have yet to find anyone worthy enough to break down my walls and make me want to move forward with a relationship. Mark has kept me insanely busy with work anyway, which means I haven't had my itch scratched in a while. My little purple vibrator is going to have a broken motor if I keep up this dry spell any longer. Despite how long it's been, I most certainly am not going down that road with Mark.
"Listen, ladies, I never asked to be the shit."
I lift my shoulders with a shrug. "I finish up my day with the girls and we go our separate ways. I need to get my last-minute things together anyway for this event that is happening in less than 24 hours. It isn't until now, as I'm staring into my small closet, that I realize I have nothing to wear, nor am I mentally prepared. Before I go crazy looking for something, I shoot Mark a quick text. How do you expect me to be ready for the holiday gala in 24 hours?
Mark, does that mean you're going to be my fake fiancé?
Do I have a choice?
Mark, yes, but I'm still hoping you will help me out here.
I said I would, didn't I?
Mark, actually you didn't. You said I owe you a raise.
You do. Upside-down smile emoji. Just as I'm about to type out another response to him, I get a notification at the top of my phone screen from my bank that a deposit has been made. I open it to see what this is all about because it's not payday. My jaw drops to the floor when I see a deposit made for $5,000. The sender? Mark Ford. Of course he has quick access because he's the one who personally deposits my paycheck each week. What in the actual... Was that necessary? Facepalm emoji.
Mark, that's not your raise. Don't worry. That's also not payment for coming with me. I know you're not an escort. Eye roll emoji. That's so you can find something to wear for tomorrow night. I asked you to be my date, and I'm putting you out with all this last-minute shit, so it's the least I can do. You have no idea how much this means to me. You're willing to help me out here. Seriously, thank you.
I don't respond right away because my brain isn't wired for this type of generosity. I'm not used to guys actually being nice to me. Okay, maybe that's not the right thing to say. They are nice to me, but I can tell when it's actually genuine and when it's fake. Most guys put up the fake nice guy act to try and get what they want out of me. Yes, Mark needs my help with something, but it's all for show. He's not getting anything else out of it. I can tell he's being genuine in his gratitude. I know by just that one text that he feels bad for putting me out on such short notice like this. Now I feel bad for being an asshole. Who am I? I never feel bad about my attitude. I can do this, though. I can be a fake fiancé for one night. It's just one date.
Chapter 2. Mark. I must have been drunk when I agreed with my brother Thomas to his idea to ask Avery to be my date to this charity event. Don't get me wrong, she's amazing at her job and drop-dead gorgeous. However, she's a wild card, a ticking time bomb, if you will. The girl has no filter and a dirty mouth. She's about 5'4" with a 6'5" attitude on her, which I shouldn't find so damn hot because she is so far from being my usual type. The first time I saw her was when she walked into my office for her interview. She was the last candidate of the day, and I was already aggravated over the others. Every single one of them had no experience working as an assistant. Some of them were secretaries previously, but that wasn't what I was looking for. She had every qualification and experience I was looking for. But she had to show up filling my office with some kind of floral aroma I couldn't quite pinpoint at the time. She was wearing the tightest black pencil skirt that stopped just below her knees and didn't leave a whole lot to the imagination, with a white button-up blouse that was so slim-fit it could have easily been painted on her. Her buttons were open just enough to expose the top curves of her breasts. My eyes couldn't help but look. I'm not ashamed to admit that I scanned her body up and down the moment she stepped foot into my office that day. A petite woman with sun-kissed skin that complemented her blonde hair perfectly and an innocent face that I'm sure gets her carded in every bar she goes to. She truly didn't look a day over 20, but her high school graduation date on her resume told me she was in her late 20s. Whew, she had temptation written all over her. My mind doesn't normally go right into wanting to know what a woman would feel like underneath me, but it did in this situation. I love sex, but I'm more of a relationship kind of guy. Casual hookups and one-night stands just don't do it for me. I like having the comfort of a woman around to take her out on dates and spoiling the shit out of her. For me, consistency is key. Despite my hesitation, I had to hire her because the next day I interviewed 4 more candidates and again, not a single one met my requirements for the job. Avery was everything I wanted in an employee. Her references and love for organization were a dream come true for an employer. Now, here I am, stuck with my best employee, who apparently doesn't do relationships, having to make her my fake fiancé for the night to impress my boss in hopes he sees me as a family guy. That's just the thing. I am a family guy. I love my brothers, Thomas and Oliver, as well as my little sister, Emmeline. Family is everything to me. Thomas is a successful investor in the city, and we partner on a lot of deals together. He became a single dad after a one-night stand that he used to get the one that got away out of his head. We always thought I would be the first one to give our parents a grandkid, but it turns out James was the greatest thing to happen to all of us. He's the coolest and smartest kid you will ever meet. Oliver is a free bird. After our dad died, we were all left an inheritance from him. Oliver decided to take his and travel the world. We thought he was out of his ever-loving mind, but he started documenting his travels on a blog site, and now he makes a shit ton of money doing it. His trips are mostly sponsored by companies and fully covered as long as he blogs about wherever he's staying. Emmeline is the baby out of all of us. She was a surprise to Mom and Dad after they thought they would have a family of all boys. She's successfully working her way through an accelerated nursing program. We all couldn't be prouder of her. I'm going to admit, I grew up as a mama's boy. I was always the closest to her out of all of us. Things changed a lot after our dad died unexpectedly from complications of pneumonia, and she was never the same person. Now she spends her time traveling the world with her girlfriends, and we're lucky if we hear from her once a month, other than a couple texts to tell us she's okay. I work in real estate. Not just any residential real estate, but high-end commercial real estate. We don't sell houses, we sell buildings, skyscrapers, and all the other luxurious buildings you could think of. Thomas and I have our names on half the city. He invests, and I make the deal come to life. It's the perfect duo that makes us both rich. It's just total bullshit. Bill is looking for someone to take over his company who is a family man. I am the biggest family man in this city, but I just haven't found the one yet to create my own family. However, his top 2 contenders don't have a wife or kids. It's between Todd and me. I've heard through the grapevine that he's been engaged to his girl for over a year now and plans to get married this winter. Me? I don't even have a girlfriend. That's why I'm in this situation with Avery Woods. There's no reason it shouldn't work. Bill lives in Florida for the majority of the year and only comes to the city in the summer. Todd oversees Brooklyn and Queens, while I oversee Manhattan, the Bronx, and Staten Island, and they don't know she's my assistant. My thoughts are cut short when I feel my phone buzz in my pocket and see a phone call from my best friend Logan. What's up? Is that any way to answer the phone when I call you? Logan chuckles. You sound moody. I am moody, I scoff. I don't want to do this shit tonight. Plus, I just dropped 8 grand on an engagement ring for a fake fiancé. Oh, I can see how that would make someone moody. He laughs. Don't start with me, Logan. Logan is one of our best friends. He's been more like a brother to Thomas, Oliver, and me for as long as I can remember. He's a cop here in the city, and damn good at what he does. He comes to these events with us to represent New York City's finest and to get access to the open bar. He just so happens to be the biggest playboy of all of us and always happens to lead these events with someone. My younger brother Oliver comes in a close second to him. Oh, stop, he snickers. It's not going to be that bad. Avery is hot, dude. She's an animal. As long as you don't feed her too much tequila, you certainly don't need her breaking out in song and dance, singing Breakfast at Tiffany's again. I groan, thinking about our trip to the beach house where Avery, Callie, and Emmeline got drunk off tequila and started belting that song while dancing on top of the kitchen counter. It was a sight to see, that's for sure. I think she will control herself for the night. I sure hope so, he huffs. Do you want me to pick you up on the way tonight? No, I'm good, brother. I have my driver taking us tonight because I have to pick up Avery. I don't think it would be a good look if we showed up separately, you know. That makes perfect sense, he says with conviction. Well, I will see you there. You got this in the bag. Bill would be stupid to give this to Todd. You're the man for the job. Thank you, Logan. Appreciate it. Anytime. See you there. The ride to Avery's apartment has me more nervous than I have been in a long time because I know deep down I have to treat it as a real date. I have to make a show that we're happy and in love. I feel my leg bouncing in place and my heart is pounding a mile a minute. Will people around us know it's fake? Can I really prove to everyone inside of the Edison Ballroom that I am in love with Avery? I huff out a groan in the back seat as I think about the fact that this is going to be impossible. The two of us genuinely can't stand each other. The problem is that our personalities are total opposites of each other. Don't get me wrong, I love getting her riled up when she throws her snarky comments at me, but that's really all we have going for us. Pulling up in front of her building, I pause as I adjust my suit jacket before I make my way to her apartment. I stand outside of her door for what feels like minutes before I finally find the courage to knock. Within seconds, the door swings open, and Callie is standing in front of me. Well, hello there. She scans me up and down as if she's approving of her friend's date for the evening. Hi, Callie. I fake adjust the cufflinks of my suit jacket that I already fixed to avoid her stare. Is Avery almost ready?
Yep. She will be out in a second. Come in, come in.
She steps aside and opens her arm to signal I can enter their space. Their apartment is small. I don't know how two people can live here. It's crazy to think that there were almost three people in this space before Peyton took the nanny job with Tommy and moved in with him. The place is big enough for a love seat, sofa, and two bar stools at the kitchen counter. There isn't even enough room for an actual kitchen table.
Are you judging my apartment, Marcus?
Avery says from behind me, cutting through my thoughts. My head snaps in the direction of her voice, and it's as if the whole world stops spinning on its axis. I feel my breath lodge in my throat as I take in the sight of her. I drink in her body from head to toe as she stands in place. Her long, bleach-blonde hair is pulled back into a slick ponytail. She's wearing the most stunning bright red dress that hugs every curve of her body and matches her personality. There's no doubt in my mind that
I'm not wearing panties.
She laughs, as if she can read my mind. I wasn't.
Yes, you were, Marcus.
She cuts me off as she takes a few steps closer to me, and I feel the heat of her body as she steps into my personal space.
Your face just told me that you were wondering if I was wearing panties under this.
She takes one final step closer. Our bodies are so close, and I feel a shiver run down my spine. She leans in to whisper in my ear.
The answer is no, babe.
Babe, She's playing the game of doting fiancé. I stuff my hands in my pockets and force my mind to think of anything other than the way she just cooed the word babe from her soft pink lips. And how breathtaking.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?